Last week, I did an extended show talking about all these Jewish conferences. I know how that sounds, but it's what it is. It's so weird because you talk to normal people and you feel like a crazy person. But you look at these things and what else are you supposed to say? I did a whole show about it last week. I go on Tucker Carlson's show. It's really an uneventful interview. It's not even the best interview I've ever given. It's pretty boring, honestly. And it causes an international crisis. It's another Holocaust. The anti-Semites are at the gates, you know. And it's in the New York Times 5 days a week. It's in the Washington Post. The president is talking about it. People are making a personal appeal to the vice president. The Speaker of the House is getting involved. And then on the sideline of all that, the organized Jewish community is freaking out and they hold their meetings. You know, that's just how it works. They go to Las Vegas for the Republican Jewish Coalition Summit. The Republican Jewish Coalition is what it is. And Mark Levin gets up and says, I'm tired of hearing about Gaza. We'll tell you when we're done with Gaza. We're sick of hearing. We the Jews. This is what goes on. Week after that, you get the World Jewish Congress. Go ahead and Google that. That's a real thing. It's run by the Rothschilds and Ronald Lauder. Not making that up. That's real. And they get together and they talk about how Jews around the world are going to help Jewish people. And then they do the Conference of Major Jewish Organizations. They do the North American Jewish Federation. They do the Tikva Jewish Leadership Summit. Okay, so these are five different meetings that all happened in the past few weeks. And they all get together and they basically say the same thing, which is we need to shut it down. They say people are noticing that we have all the power and they notice that we're using the power to help Israel and Americans are sick of it. So they're saying we need to shut that conversation down. We need to cancel Tucker. We need to blacklist Nick. We need to censor the internet. We need anti-Semitism laws. We need gatekeeping. Like, this is explicitly the message. And anyway, I did a whole show about this last week. If you watch the videos, that's exactly what they're saying. And we finally actually got the live footage from one of them at the Tikva Leadership Summit last week. I covered it on the show, but we only had the transcript, or we had a summary of events from a reporter, but we didn't actually have the video. We finally got the video from a panel with Ben Shapiro and Barry Weiss. And oh my gosh, it's just like beyond parody. And so for those that don't know, recently, Larry Ellison became the second richest man in the world. Who is Larry Ellison? Good question. So he is now worth north of $300 billion. He's the founder of Oracle. It's a software company. They handle data hosting. And I don't even really know what that means. I'm not a tech guy. So if you don't know, that's fine. But it's a back-end service. So they're a provider. They provide data hosting services for all the major websites. It's called Oracle, and they get contracts from the government, and they have partnerships with all the major tech companies. It's one of the most valuable tech companies in the world, and Larry Ellison is its founder and its owner and the head of the company. And that's where he derives his fortune. Larry Ellison is Jewish. Larry Ellison is an atheist. But he feels very strongly about being Jewish, so strongly that he is a huge supporter of Israel. How much does he support Israel? Well, he's the number one private benefactor of the Israeli Defense Forces. He has made private donations to the Israeli military to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. How much does he support Israel? He's personal friends with Benjamin Netanyahu. And when Benjamin Netanyahu was indicted by his own government, Larry Ellison helped get Netanyahu a lawyer to defend himself. How did Ellison get Netanyahu a lawyer? Well, Larry Ellison went down to Hollywood and he went to the famous Jewish pro-Israel movie producer, Arnon Milchan, and asked him to drop his Israelite Jewish lawyer, his Israeli Jewish lawyer, so that Netanyahu could hire him. Okay, So the second richest man in the world, an American billionaire running one of the most important tech companies, went to one of the richest and most famous and powerful Jewish movie producers and said, "Hey, Arnon, can you dismiss your lawyer? Netanyahu is in trouble." So he gets Milchan to drop his lawyer so that Netanyahu could hire him to defend him from corruption charges. Netanyahu has vacationed on Larry Ellison's private island that he owns in Hawaii with his family. This is Larry Ellison. Now, after October 7th, the U.S. Congress banned TikTok because there was too much criticism of Israel on TikTok. How do we know this? Because the ADL told us that the more time that people spend on TikTok, the more anti-Semitic they become. So the North American Jewish Federation started lobbying Congress to ban TikTok. And major pro-Israel Republicans like Nikki Haley led the charge on this. She said, "We have to ban TikTok because it's anti-Semitic." So they did. Another Jewish donor, Jeffrey Yass, donated millions of dollars to Trump because he wanted Trump to buy TikTok on behalf of the United States. As you know, recently Trump completed that deal as part of a wider trade deal with China, and the United States purchased TikTok from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, and the U.S. consortium that bought it was Larry Ellison's company, Oracle. Larry Ellison will direct the board that is running TikTok, and his Oracle will host America's TikTok data. So go figure, the Jewish lobby bans TikTok, the Jewish lobby gets Trump to buy TikTok, the Jewish lobby now owns TikTok, and what do you think they're going to do with it? They're going to ban anti-Semitism. What else does Larry Ellison do? Well, his son David Ellison has a production company called Skydance. Larry Ellison underwrites the acquisition of Paramount by Skydance. So his son now owns Paramount, the Hollywood media conglomerate, which includes CBS, one of the major broadcasting networks. As part of the deal, they're going to get Barry Weiss to run CBS. CBS will buy her website, The Free Press, for $150 million, and she will now be the editor-in-chief of CBS. Barry Weiss, of course, is an Israeli spy. She went to Columbia University, where she tried to get pro-Palestine professors fired as part of the David Project, a Jewish group. Then when she finished college, she studied under Yoram Hazony in Israel at the Shalem Center. Then she came back to the United States and was mentored by Brett Stevens, the Jewish columnist at the New York Times, where she was an editorialist over there. Then she got money to do the Free Press. Now she's at CBS. And the new editorial line there is, we're not going to tolerate the progressive left that's anti-Israel and the radical right that's anti-Israel, okay? This is what is going on. This is who Barry Weiss is. This is what she's a part of. Now, Barry Weiss goes to the Tikva Fund, and Tikva is funded by a number of Jewish billionaires. They come up with grants for young Jewish students and Jewish lawyers. The Tikva Fund has given money to the B'nai B'rith, to the ADL. They've given money to a lot of these types. J.D. Vance's Jewish chief of staff was a Tikva Fund fellow, as are many of them in Conservative Inc. So she's there with Ben Shapiro at the panel talking about the crisis of anti-Semitism. And she says, what we need are gatekeepers. We need censorship. She says, how do we get people to stop listening to Hassan Piker, Andrew Tate, Tucker, and Nick Fuentes? She says, well, we're never going to go back to Walter Cronkite, where 30 million people are watching the same TV show, and it's centralized, it's gatekept, it's moderate. She said, we have to find centrist conservatives and centrist liberals. She says, and we need to curate who is allowed to participate in the discourse. That means gatekeeping. That means the Jews are going to decide who gets to talk, who gets to participate in the debate, and what the topics will be. She says, we're not going back to Walter Cronkite, but we can curate the discourse. We can choose who's going to debate. She says, so we should find charismatic centrist liberals and centrist conservatives and have them debate. She says to Ben Shapiro, she goes, Yeah, I was just in Chicago last week, and we had this debate between Alan Dershowitz and Dana Loesch about gun control. She goes, two really charismatic centrists from the left and right. Alan Dershowitz and Dana Loesch. For those that don't know, Alan Dershowitz was Jeffrey Epstein's Jewish lawyer, who is 86 years old. And Dana Loesch, I think she's in her 50s. She was the former head of the NRA. You might have seen her recently because she is the one that interrogated Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation, after he interviewed or after he defended Tucker Carlson for interviewing me. Dana Loesch led the inquisition on her show that gets no views. That's going to be the discourse. Jeffrey Epstein's Jewish lawyer and Israel's number one defender, the head of the NRA, Dana Loesch, debating about gun control. That's going to be the discussion. That's going to be the new discourse. Got it? Let's not talk about Gaza. Let's not talk about Epstein. Let's not talk about the Pollard affair and how Mike Huckabee sat with him. Let's not talk about the pedophile from the Israeli government that fled our own attorney general from Vegas. Let's not talk about the war in Iran. Let's not talk about Mike Waltz being controlled by Netanyahu. Let's not talk about Marjorie Greene being forced out of Congress by death threats for exposing the Epstein. Like, yeah, let's not talk about any of that. Let's not talk about the 20-year MOU or anything concerning all of that, which is fanatical, radical. According to Tucker Carlson, my new best friend, that's anti-Semitism. According to Tucker Carlson, that's Jew hatred. Everything that I just said up until this point, Tucker characterizes that as Jew hatred. He says, Nick is 100% right that Israel influences Congress. He said, but I don't agree with the Jew hate. Well, you know, Tucker, my friend, it's a little bit bigger than Israel influencing Congress. There's a little more to the story, and it doesn't make me a Jew hater for saying that. Anyway, they want us to talk about everything other than that. Gun control, healthcare, even immigration. They'll even allow you to talk about immigration. They'll even let you talk about cultural differences between Somalis and Americans. Did you see that? Matt Walsh went on a little tear today. It was so cute. Daring today, aren't we? Go get him. Matt Walsh did a little segment on his show where he said, you import the third world, you become the third world. Daring today, aren't we? We're 50 years into the brownification of America, and finally someone has the balls to say we shouldn't import the third world? Bravo. And Elon Musk retweeted it and said, wow, right on. So Elon just finished telling us that if we don't want infinite Indian immigrants, you know, we're racist and we need to fuck ourselves in the face. But Matt Walsh said Somalis have bad culture? Amazing, amazing, awesome. And this is where we are. It could not be more clear. And by the way, let me tell you something else. Okay, it is so obvious what's going on here. So obvious. Mark Levin, Barry Weiss, Ben Shapiro, Randy Fine, Joel Berry, all these people, they are the biggest liars in America. That's all they do. They lie like they breathe. And they come on the air and they pretend to care about our religion and they pretend to care about our country and about our children and about our young men and our people. But we all know. The only reason they are scrambling, panicking, one reason and one reason only, it's because people are waking up about our Jewish oligarchy. That's it. And we all know why. All of them are Jewish. All of them have a special affinity for Israel. And by all of them, I mean all these people that have spoken out in the past few weeks. When these Jewish people get together at the North American Jewish Federation, at the Republican Jewish Coalition, at the World Jewish Congress, at the Conference for Major American Jewish Organizations, and they get up on stage and right, left, and center, they get up and they decry the anti-Semites on the left and on the right, Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, Hassan Piker and Zohran Mamdani. The only reason they're saying these things is because they are here as a foreign entity to lobby and manipulate the American public to support their country and their well-being at our expense. That's it. These people are Jewish. That's why they care about Israel. And they are here to make sure that all of us Americans never stop supporting Israel. I'm here to tell Americans we don't have to listen to them. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't listen to them. Americans should tune out people that care about other countries. You care about Israel? We put the volume to zero. We're not listening. I don't care what your take is on gun control. I don't care what your take is on healthcare. You are a Jew that only cares about Israel. There's no we here. They are not part of this conversation. This is a conversation between Americans about what America will do. America is a country of, by, and for the American people. A republic comprised of American citizens. Americans are going to speak to other Americans about what is best for Americans. Americans are going to make their decision about who we are going to vote for the leader of America, and what America will do with regard to Israel. We're not going to listen to pro-Israel Jews that are here to tell us that we don't have a decision, that there's one decision, and that is to support Israel. How much are we going to support Israel? Are we going to give them all our money or most of our money? Are we going to fight all their wars or some of their wars? Are we going to fight in an offensive or defensive capacity? If you are here as a foreign propagandist, as a foreign lobbyist, as a foreign spy, if you have another allegiance, you are not in this conversation. We're telling Barry Weiss and Ben Shapiro, butt out. You are not invited. You are not one of us. You are one of them. Ben Shapiro, you have an Israeli wife and Israeli kids. You live in an all-Jewish neighborhood. You've been to Israel more times than I can count on two hands. You are not American. You are not one of us. Barry Weiss, you finished college and got trained in Israel to advocate for Israel. You're a foreign spy. You should be deported. You speak to an audience of Jews about what is best for Jews. You talk to Jews about using the position and resources of other Jews to advance the interests of Jews at the expense of everybody else without regard for what's best for Americans. America as a whole, Americans that are not loyal to Israel, Americans that are not Jewish. So you are one of them. We are going to ignore you. Real Americans are going to turn to each other. And we are going to talk about all the things we're not allowed to talk about. We're not going to listen to you or your puppets, your $7,000 shills. We're not going to listen to Officer Talmud, the dumbest man on the internet, Officer Tatum. We're not going to listen to people that work for Glenn Beck at the Blaze after he cried because they turned down his application for Israeli citizenship. We're not going to listen to people that work for Ben Shapiro at the Daily Wire that want to beat their chest about America, but they work for the number one pro-Israel traitor in the history of the United States, Ben Shapiro. We are not going to listen. I'll tell you something else. All of that is obvious. All of that has been obvious. We have a problem here. We have a problem. The enemy is within the gates. The call is coming from inside the house. The most powerful Americans, Larry Ellison, $300 billion net worth, Miriam Adelson, $50 billion net worth, Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor, Mike Huckabee, U.S. Ambassador to Israel. All these people are loyal to Israel. AIPAC, $100 million in Congress. The list goes on and on and on. These people are a bigger threat to the United States than the Muslims. They're a bigger threat than almost any other group because they have concentrated power. Concentrated power, concentrated money power, concentrated political power. How do we know this? They use it all the time. They use it to buy TikTok. They use it to get the president of Harvard fired. Why? Because the president of Harvard wasn't cracking down on dissent against Israel hard enough. They direct their power in a focused beam against Marjorie Taylor Greene, against Claudine Gay at Harvard, against all these different targets, against Elon Musk when he tolerates people criticizing Israel. This is why they're more pernicious. What's more, They come up with these lies that insinuate themselves into our history. They say Judeo-Christian, they say Western civilization, as though they're a part of that, as though they weren't opposed to it and against it for millennia. As though their great thinkers like Maimonides didn't say that they should pray for the death of all Christians every day. As though their Talmud doesn't say our Savior's burning in hell, doesn't instruct Jews to spit when they pass our cemeteries, says that they don't have to save our lives if we're in mortal danger. That's the problem. We all know it. Here's what's happening now. The reason that I am popular, actually, it's not because the economy is bad, actually. It's not because young men are disillusioned, whatever that means. It's not because young men don't have economic opportunities and you're going to go and tell them about the free market or whatever. Let me tell you why I began my generational run this year. It's because last year I was the only one that got up and said, don't vote for Trump. He's owned by the Jews. He'll bring us to war in Iran. I was the only one that said that. When Miriam Adelson made her deal with Trump to give him $100 million in exchange for bombing Iran in the West Bank, I said, that's a red flag. I said, that means Trump will sell us out. I said, don't vote for him. Candace Owens supported him. Tucker Carlson gave a speech at the Republican convention. They know better. Everybody supported him. I didn't. And when Trump bombed Iran, everybody tuned into my show because they said, this guy's been talking about it for a long time. So this guy must know what he's talking about. That's what started the generational run. Tucker didn't put me on. Candace Owens didn't put me on. Bradley Martin didn't put me on. And as much as I appreciated those people having me on their platform, what put me on is that I'm fucking right. I'm right about Israel. I'm right about our Jewish oligarchy. I'm more right than anybody else. I'm more right than Tucker. I'm more right than this anti-Semite light thing, whatever that is. I'm more right than people like Tucker that say, it has nothing to do with Jewish people. It's only about Israel's policies in Gaza. Yeah, that's a lie. That's a lie. And it's a lie from someone who has been in politics for 25 years, but only started criticizing Israel last year. Gee, I wonder why. I guess he had an epiphany. Amazing. Amazing. And now these people that were wrong for 25 years or lying, they now want to circumscribe the limit of acceptable debate on the subject. Hi, I'm Tucker Carlson. I supported the war in Iraq. I didn't say anything about Israel for 30 years, but I just figured it out last year. And now I want to say what's acceptable to talk about. Nick Fuentes is an anti-Semite. That's too far. But Nayland Haley is just right. But Candace Owens is just right. Nick Fuentes, he's a Jew hater, an anti-Semite. I don't avow that, but the young people like him because they're mad. I'm sorry. Why are we listening to you? Because you were wrong for 30 years. I've been right for the last 10. So maybe you should listen to me. I don't know why I'm listening to you. Allegedly, I found this out after the fact, after I went to Tucker's studio, I find out that he brought me on the show to dissuade me from being anti-Semitic. See, I didn't know that because he never brought that up. In our dinner, in our interview, you know, he never brought that up. But since the interview, he's gone around to Megyn Kelly and to Sean Ryan and all these other people and told them, oh, I was trying to persuade him to stop hating Jews. That's weird. I missed that because it was so friendly. I didn't get that at all. And actually, in the interview, I agreed with him that we're against blood guilt. You know, the speech that he's been giving everywhere. I don't know where that came from. But if that's the case, I would like to turn it around and say, you know, maybe you should have had me on your show so that maybe I could teach you a lesson. Because you've been wrong or lying about things for 30 years. And I've been right for the last 10. So I don't know why we would take the guy who it took him 30 years into his 50s to figure out that there's something going on with Jews in Israel about where the limits of that discussion are. The guy that canceled Pat Buchanan, the guy that worked for Bill Kristol, the guy that worked for Fox News, the guy that supported Trump in multiple elections. We're now going to listen to him about where the line is and what's anti-Semitic and what isn't. Yeah, I don't know that you've earned that. I don't know that you have any credibility on the subject, actually. I think I have a lot of credibility because I started that conversation when I was 18. What's your excuse? Because I was paying attention and I staked my reputation and my career and everything, and you tried to destroy me for that. Lest we forget, you started it. So that's the other thing that's going on. And so, you know what? Whatever Tucker's next move is, whatever they're trying to do, and they're up to something. They're up to something. You know, that's what that Nayland Haley interview was about. What do you think the Nayland Haley interview was about? Now Newsweek says, Nayland Haley is the new leader of Generation Z. He's Nikki Haley's son, and he's, you know, he sounds like a populist. Where do you think this is going? Let me tell you this. Before they kill me, okay, before Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance have me killed for telling the real truth, let me just say this before I get killed or taken out in some way. These people are not trustworthy, okay? They're not telling the truth. And I think they are maybe making some last-ditch effort to placate my audience. Let's hear the guy out. Let's hear the bastard out. So then my audience is going to go and say, oh, Tucker's dad didn't run the CIA. Oh, J.D. Vance isn't a creation of Peter Thiel. Oh, Peter Thiel's great. Seems great. All that obsession with the Antichrist and, you know, the dead boyfriend who fell from the window. That seems totally legit. They're trying to bring me on to earn the allegiance of the audience. They say, well, he had Nick on. He had Nick on, so he must be cool. Oh, well, they had Nick on. And they're now defending Tucker. So maybe these guys are cool. Let me tell you this. They're not cool. They're not square. Fuck J.D. Vance. Fuck Peter Thiel. I won't say fuck Tucker because I was in his cabin and everything. But, buddy, he is up to something. This guy is up to something. You know, and I don't like that he was so two-faced. He's a two-faced. I don't like two-faces. I know I'm from Chicago. We're not two-faced here in Chicago. Maybe you're two-faced up in New England, in Fox News, you know, in that world where you come from. We're not two-faced out here. And so you bring me on the show and you say one thing, and then you go everywhere and say, well, he attacked my dad. I didn't attack your dad. You lied. You lied. You said you didn't know your dad was in the CIA. He was. That's not an attack. That's a fact. And it's relevant. He goes, well, he attacked my dad. No, no. You attacked me. You worked with Max Blumenthal, son of Sidney Blumenthal, to get a hit piece written about me in the Gray Zone calling me a fed because your buddy, Joe Kent, who is also in the CIA, said that he doesn't support my views on Israel. So where's the accounting for that? Or is that something else we want to gloss over? And then proceeds to say, well, I don't approve of his anti-Semitism. I don't even know what that means. I don't hate anybody. I'm not a Jew hater. I don't hate anybody. I just recognize, like everybody does now, that we live in a Jewish oligarchy. Okay, the reason we live in a society that is apostatized from Jesus Christ, the reason we live in a diverse society that was reconstituted under Martin Luther King Jr. and the ADL and the Civil Rights Act and the Hartzeller Act is because of Jewish activists working in the diaspora to make this country more hospitable to their ascendancy, to make it tolerate a hostile foreign occupation. That's why. And they're using that same influence to build up their base of power in Israel. That's a fact. Everybody knows that. And if you can't say that with your chest, if you can't support me for saying that, I don't trust you. Because I'm saying nothing wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong. And I don't like that. You know, and by the way, I'm one of the only ones telling the truth. I'm not a perfect person. You don't have to avow every joke or shitty thing I've ever said, but I'm one of the only ones telling the truth. So if it's anything other than he's telling the truth, it's, he's an anti-Semite. Oh, I don't approve of his anti-Semitism. When people tell you who they are, listen. When people take their mask off and they show you who they are, you listen. You know, I took the call from Tucker. I went out just like I went to Candace's house. I'm always open to talk and I'm always willing to accept the olive branch. I went out there and I said, let's see what happens. Let's just see how it goes down. And I thought it went pretty well. But now ever since he's gone on the tour, now I find out it was an intervention. Oh, that's news to me. Now I find out the whole thing was an intervention about how I'm an anti-Semite and my audience just needs to follow other people. They're trying to split us up. Not to sound like a cult or anything, but that's really what it is. They hate that people support me because I say this. And they hate that none of their attacks work. They call me everything. They attack everything about me. They attack my look, my personality, my family, my race, my everything about me, my past remarks, I'm an extremist, you know, everything about me, they rip me to shreds because they want to discredit me in the eyes of the audience for no reason other than they don't want you to listen to me. That's it. These fucking people will tolerate anything. Criminals, degenerates, they'll tolerate scumbags like Dave Rubin. They'll tolerate that. They'll tolerate Kevin Spacey. They'll tolerate George Santos. They'll tolerate every flavor, every variety of scumbag, degenerate, criminal, thug, liar, crook, psycho. They say, I'm making everybody look bad, and then you got Candace Owens on again? Really? They do a show about chemtrails? They do a show about demonic attacks? I'm making everybody look bad. They'll tolerate anything, but they attack me on the basis of everything. Why? They don't want you to listen to what I have to say about this. So you can think whatever you want about me. Take the information. Don't trust these people. I don't trust these people and they're trying to use people. I will not be used. I'll not be bought. I cannot be tricked. You know, so that I'm getting really suspicious and I'm getting really pissed off about it. I'm getting really pissed off about the whole thing. Piers Morgan, how many shows is he going to do about me, but not have me on the show? We're going to do yet another show about Nick Fuentes, not going to talk to him. On Piers Morgan, uncensored, by the way. Megyn Kelly's going to play the clip of me from Grand Theft Auto, really? The assault from the Blaze, writing articles. They got that bald idiot doing Dear Groiper. They got Rufo and Lomez, illegal immigrant wife, Jew academic. Then they got the Doyle show, cocksucker goy slave show. Endless, endless. Me against everybody. Me against all of them. Me against everybody on the payroll from PayPal Mafia. Me against everybody on the payroll of CIA, Trump, GOP, Israel, and I hate to say it, but it's what it is. Me and the Groypers against everybody. So, and that's always how it will be. And you know what? Now's about the time when people say, oh, you know, you need allies. You don't want to get isolated. I would say it's the total opposite. I would say, you know, no entangling alliances with the Groypers. Let's not get tricked. Let's not get caught up with people that we don't understand or people we don't know, people we can't trust. I don't know what Tucker's deal is. I don't understand it. I don't understand how a person lives like that. It's all a big fucking lie. The cabin with the knickknacks. It's an artifice. It's a complete artifice. The whole thing's an artifice. I don't like it. And I don't like what he's been saying. I think it's two-faced. I feel betrayed. I feel hurt. I feel betrayed. I think it was bullshit. Just like with Candace. I don't like these games. It's not good faith. It's not forthright. It's not direct. It's not honest. And you know what, buddy boy, you need your credibility right now. You know, whatever the fuck you're trying to do, you've been working for the system for 25 years. And I got your number because we know about your daddy and all that, you know, and seems like a good guy. Seems like a fucking patriot for what it's worth. But he ran the CIA. He ran Voice of America. You know, you can't really afford to act like that right about now. can't really afford to be two-faced. You have to be a little bit above suspicion. You got to let some of that go. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Anyway, that's how I feel. I don't like the backhanded compliments. He's so talented. I know I'm talented. I'm right. I didn't get canceled because I'm talented. I got canceled because I'm right. So don't give me this, you know, he's talented and he's right about some things. Oh, but he's an anti-Semite. Don't give me that. Don't give me that bullshit. Don't give me that. You know that. That's not even true. That's a crock of nonsense. And that sounds like Ben Shapiro. It sounds like a different flavor of that. He's telling me Netanyahu likes you. Okay, how do you know that? What did he tell you? For fuck's sake. I just lose my mind because it's like, you know, more than anything, I'm like, let's just stop the lies. Can we just like the level of gaslighting and psychological warfare that has been waged against the American people? It's just enough. That's why people resonate, because they know I'm real. You know, I'm not perfect. They don't agree with everything I say. They don't like everything about me. Maybe they just think I'm funny, but I'm funny because I'm real, because there's not a pretense. I'm not playing a character. I'm not changing my views every other year. Okay. So I've to get it from Shapiro is one thing. Okay, he works for Israel. Very simple, very straightforward. In some ways, it's more honest. But this shit, this I can't stand. You know, and I don't like the feeling of being used and manipulated. I don't like the feeling of people, you know, running these little games, doing these. I promise I'm almost finished here, but these like subtle little digs they take at me, bringing up the Nazi stuff all the time. It's like, yeah, I don't know if you really get it. So anyway, I've been very pissed off about the whole, I feel like the whole thing was an op. I feel like the whole damn thing was an op. And that's why the message is never relent. We're going to, sorry. The moderation, if you thought that was happening, that has just been canceled. That has been permanently foreclosed. We are identitarian. We are pro-white. Christ is king. The Jewish billionaires must have their power taken from them. Period. End of story. Yes, it does have something to do with this theological battle. You might not want to address that. It might make you uncomfortable, but that's what's going on. What else are we supposed to conclude when we see week after week, Republican Jewish Coalition, World Jewish Congress, North American Jewish Federation, Conference of Major American Jewish Organizations, and we see one after the other, Ronald Lauder, Mark Levin, Randy Fine, Barry Weiss, Ben Shapiro, one after the other, they take the stage and say, we're going to make our decisions. We're going to use our position and resources. We're sick of hearing about Gaza. America will fall. America will get what it deserves. How much more of that do you need to see before you understand what's going on? It's so obvious. And by the way, everybody gets it. They're trying to get you to not get it. Everybody sees it. They're trying to trick you. And they're trying to conflate that. We don't hate them, and we don't hate them because of who they are or how they were born. We don't hate anybody. But this sick shit has to stop. This state within a state that they have, it's what it is. This nation within a nation, it's not American. It's un-American. It's disloyal. It's not right. It's not just. And it's killing our country, and it has to stop immediately. And someone has to call it out for what it is. I don't want to hear any more equivocation. I don't want to hear any more qualification. People say the secular state of Israel's governmental policies. Really? What role in that does Larry Ellison and Barry Weiss and Yoram Mazzoni have? Nothing. They're here. They're born in America. They have American citizenship. They use our system to help themselves and Israel. It's bigger than that, and everyone knows it. Why, oh why, is Eric Weinstein in Italy, in Rome, flipping off the Arch of Titus if they don't think like how I say they think? So the law of the land is America first. And if you can't get down with that, you cannot have power in this country. You can have your life, and you can have your rights, and you can have your liberty. And I don't think anybody should bother you. But you cannot have power over Americans if you don't put America first. It's that simple. Does that make me anti-Semitic? Tucker Carlson, tell me where I'm going wrong. Directly and honestly, without making a face, please. Lot of lies. But we will only have the truth. We will honor the American people with only the truth. That's what it is. These people have no business here. You know, Josh Hammer, Israeli wife. Ben Shapiro, Israeli wife. Sheldon Adelson, Israeli wife. Barry Weiss, trained in Israel. Yoram Hazony, lives in Israel. What's going on with all that? I don't like it. Nobody can. It's un-American. So anyway, that's that. We're out of time. No, but what are we going to talk about tonight? We'll get into the Ukraine war a little bit, but that's the most important thing that's going on. This conversation, this is the most important thing that's going on. It has to be said openly and transparently and directly that is what is going on. So, and that's the next level of the deception. It's called the limited hangout. The limited hangout. The CIA specialty is the limited hangout. Let's throw some chum in the water for the goyim. The limited hangout. Probably Dick Carlson invented it. Is that an attack? I mean, I don't know. But they invented that. That family invented that. The limited hangout. We will disclose some things to get people from really drawing all the correct conclusions. Well, we can criticize Netanyahu and we can criticize the neocons, but we can't criticize organized Jewry in the United States. We can't criticize the Jewish billionaire oligarchs that have bought the government. Okay.